Good morning. Thanks for joining me Beyond the Divide. Today we're going to dive into a virtue that's often easier said than done, and that is patience. In a world that moves at lightning speed, waiting well is a skill that we all need to develop. We're going to explore what the Bible says about patience, why it matters, and how we can cultivate it in our daily lives. Patience isn't just about waiting in line without complaining. It's a deep spiritual practice that reflects trust in God's timing. Today, we're going to unpack three key aspects: patience with God, patience with others, and patience with ourselves, all grounded in Scripture. No more lies, just me and you. Hearts aligned, we'll find the way. Together, we'll seize the day. Beyond the divide, we'll stand as one. Chasing truth. From the shadows to the light, we strive. United, we thrive. Beyond the divide. All right, guys, we're going to talk about patience today. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we've been talking a lot this week about the refiner's fire, from trust to obedience to discouragement and encouragement. So today we're going to round that all out with patience. And we're going to talk about this from the standpoint of four key aspects: refining, trusting, time, and tribulation. So let's start with patience with God. We live in an instant gratification culture. Think same-day delivery, streaming shows on demand, but God's timing often does not match our schedule. And the Bible reminds us that patience is about trusting in his perfect plan and his timeline. One of my favorite verses is in Isaiah chapter 40, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This verse tells us that waiting on God isn't passive, it's active hope. We're not just sitting around waiting for something to happen. We're actively going through our lives and seeking the opportunity for that to be able to come about in our lives. And it's trusting that He is working even when we can't see it. Okay, think about Abraham and Sarah. They waited for decades for the promised child, Isaac. Abraham was promised a massive posterity. But they had to wait until they were old in age to be able to have the child that would bring that about. And their story is in Genesis, and it shows that God's delays are not denials of the blessing. They waited, they stumbled at times, but God fulfilled his promise. And patience with God requires faith. In Psalm 27, it says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Waiting strengthens us because it aligns our hearts with God's purpose. It's like when you plant a seed, you don't dig it up every single day to see if it's growing. You just trust the process that it is. So, how do we practice this in our daily lives? First, pray for trust. Ask God to help you surrender your timeline and embrace His. This is the hardest aspect of the virtue of patience, is not everything runs on your timeline. And waiting for God's timeline sometimes seems like it's endless. Second, reflect on past moments when God came through. This builds faith for the future. We often forget about something almost the minute it happens. So, in our times of waiting, it can be hard to remember that God doesn't abandon us and He always comes through. But sometimes it's a ways down the road, and we have to remember those times when He did come through so that we can reflect on those in our season of waiting. And we'll talk more about practical steps and how to apply them to our lives later. But let's go ahead and move on to the next area. We're going to talk about patience with others. Okay, whether it's a coworker who's slow to respond or a friend who's always late, a family member who tests your limits, loving others well requires patience. And the Bible gives us a clear call in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." This verse ties patience to humility and love. It's not just about tolerating people, it's about valuing them in the way that God does. Jesus modeled this perfectly. Think about when he patiently taught his disciples, even when they misunderstood him or they argued over who was the greatest. They all wanted to stand right next to him. They wanted to be out front and be seen, and for the people to see them next to Jesus Christ, so that the people would recognize their value and their worth. And Jesus had to navigate that with patience and love. Another very powerful verse is in Colossians. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another." So, patience with others is a choice to clothe ourselves in Christ-like character. That list of values and traits in Colossians, that is Christ-like character. And when we choose to have patience with others, that is clothing ourselves in those characteristics. And it's forgiving the small annoyances and extending grace to one another. Think of the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke. He didn't rush past the injured man. He stopped, he patiently cared for him, and he was someone that society just ignored. But this man, this Good Samaritan, he stopped and he gave him the time. He saw him the way that Jesus would, and he took care of him. So now I want to talk about patience with ourselves. And this one's harder. We often own our harshest critics, and we're frustrated when we don't grow or change as fast as we like. But God is patient with us, and we need to extend that grace and that patience to ourselves. And we need to understand that it's all a process, and it can be a very long process. God's patience with us is a model for self-patience. In 2 Peter, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." So God is waiting for the right time for us to be ready for his blessings and his promises. And we think of it as he's just being slow, but he's not being slow. He's waiting for us to be ready. He does not give up on us when we mess up. So why should we give up on ourselves? If you look at Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, Jesus didn't write him off. He restored him patiently. And when we're impatient with ourselves, we risk that discouragement that we talked about. Philippians chapter 1 reminds us, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So growth is a journey. Maybe you're struggling to break a habit or to develop a spiritual discipline. You need to be patient because God is still working, always working. Okay, I want to go with you now to the Old Testament. Job was a faithful follower of God, and his story is one of the best examples of faith and patience and trusting in God's timing. Job's story is heartbreaking. It's one of the hardest stories in the Bible for me to read, but it's important, and it teaches us to have faith. Faith like Job. "In the land of Uz, where the sun burned gold over the rolling hills, there lived a man named Job. His life was a tapestry of blessings, fields bursting with grain, flocks that dotted the horizon like stars, and a home filled with the laughter of his 10 children. Job was not just wealthy, he was righteous, a man who rose before dawn to offer sacrifices, praying, "May my children walk in your ways, O God." His heart was tethered to the Almighty, and his neighbors whispered that the Lord's favor rested on him like morning dew. But in the unseen courts of heaven, a shadow stirred. The accuser, with eyes like flint, stood before God and sneered. "Does Job fear you for nothing? You've hedged him in with blessings. Strip them away, and he'll curse you to your face." God, knowing the heart of his servant, permitted the test. "All that he has is in your hands," he said, "but do not touch the man himself." And so the storm descended. It began on a day when the air felt too still, as if the world held its breath. A messenger stumbled into Job's courtyard, dust clinging to his robes. The oxen were plowing, and bandits struck, stole them all, killed the servants. Before Job could respond, another arrived breathless. Fire fell from the sky, consumed the sheep and the shepherds. Then a third voice trembling. Raiders took the camels, slaughtered everyone. Job's knees buckled, but the worst was yet to come. A final messenger, eyes hollow with grief, whispered, "Your children were feasting when the mighty wind collapsed the house. No one survived." Job staggered, his world unraveling like a torn garment. He fell to the ground, tore his robe, and shaved his head. Yet from the ashes of his heart rose a cry that shook the heavens. "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Even in his anguish, Job did not curse God. But the accuser wasn't finished. Again he stood before God, taunting, "Touch his body, and he'll turn." God allowed it, saying, "Spare his life." So Job awoke one morning to a body ravaged by sores, each one a burning ember of pain. He sat among the ashes, scraping his skin with a broken shard of pottery, his once vibrant frame now a shadow. His wife, her voice brittle with despair, pleaded, "Curse God and die." But Job, through gritted teeth, replied, "Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" His faith held, fragile but unbroken. The days stretched into weeks, then months. Job's friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, came to confront him, but ended up accusing him. "Surely your suffering is punishment for sin," they said. "Confess, and God will restore you." Their words stung like salt in his wounds. Job longed to plead his case before God, to ask why the righteous suffered. In his heart he cried, "Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him." He didn't understand, but he clung to God like a man clinging to a raft in a storm. The silence was the hardest part. God, who once felt as near as Job's own breath, was now a distant mystery. Job's prayers seemed to vanish into the wind. He sat in the dust, his body aching, his soul wrestling. Was God angry? Had he forgotten? Yet in the quiet, Job remembered the rhythms of creation, the stars that sang at dawn, the seas that obeyed their maker. If God governed them with care, could he not govern Job's life? So he waited, his patience a defiant act of trust. One day the sky split open, not with fire or wind, but with the voice of the Almighty. From a whirlwind, God spoke, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation?" God's questions thundered, not with anger, but with majesty. He spoke of the storehouses of snow, the paths of the stars, the creatures he sustained. Job listened, his heart trembling, as God revealed a world too vast for human understanding. "Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him?" God asked. Job pressed his hand to his mouth, humbled. "I am unworthy," he whispered. "I spoke of things I did not understand." In that moment, Job's waiting found its answer. Not in explanations, but in God's presence. His patience had anchored him through the storm, and now God restored. He blessed Job with twice what he had lost, flocks, herds, and 10 new children. Job's home filled again with laughter, and his latter days shone brighter than the first. But more than wealth, Job gained a deeper vision of God. a trust forged in the crucible of silence. And so in the land of Uz, the story of Job became a beacon for all who wait. His life whispered a truth that echoes through the ages. Patience is not the absence of pain, but the courage to trust God's heart when his hand seems hidden. As it is written, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Job's story reminds us that even in the longest silence, God is near. Redemption for those who endure. As Christians, we often hear the words the refiner's fire. And we've talked about that several times this week, so I want to dive into exactly what that means. What is the refiner's fire? My husband works with metal, and he sent me a text yesterday about tempering steel and patience. So today's episode is straight from his thoughts. And so, as a practical application of this principle, I want to kind of explain the process of tempering steel. Tempering is a process of heating which is used to increase the strength of iron alloys. With steel, the metal is heated to beyond its melting point, then cooled slowly using air to reduce the brittleness that can happen when it's cooled too quickly with liquid. Tempered steel is then less brittle and more resistant to impact and stress. There are six levels of tempering, and each achieves a different outcome with the steel. Early iron workers and Japanese swordsmiths kind of learned through trial and error how to achieve the qualities that they needed in specific pieces. And so it was kind of like an involved process. It was a long, long time coming for the knowledge. And tempering is critical for creating durable and resilient tools. And in most cases, the process is pretty slow. If they do it too fast, they don't achieve the qualities they require. So the metallurgic process enhances the material's strength, toughness, and durability. After the steel is hardened by heating it to a high temperature that's around 1600 degrees Fahrenheit, if they rapidly cool it, which is called quenching, then it becomes extremely hard, but it's also brittle. So to balance this, they temper the metal, which involves reheating the steel to a lower temperature, typically around 1300 degrees, depending on the desired properties of the outcome of the metal, and they allow it to cool slowly. This process reduces internal stresses, it increases ductility, and it makes the steel more resilient to shocks and wear while retaining sufficient hardness for its purpose, such as tools or blades. So the key aspects of tempering steel are heat and pressure. The steel undergoes intense heat and controlled cooling to transform its internal structure. Time and precision is the process requires careful timing and temperature control to achieve the right balance in the properties. And the outcome, the result, is a material that is strong yet flexible, capable of enduring stress without breaking. In a Christian context, patience is often described as a virtue that shapes character, much like tempering shapes the steel. The Bible emphasizes patience as a fruit of the Spirit and a quality developed through trial. Just as steel requires heat and time to become balanced, patience is cultivated through challenges that test one's endurance and faith. In the heat of trials and life's difficulties, waiting, suffering, and uncertainty, act like the heat applied to steel. These moments push individuals to confront their weaknesses, much like quenching exposes the brittleness in hardened steel. Patience requires time, often involving repeated exposure to trying circumstances. Just as tempering steel involves controlling reheating, patience develops through ongoing perseverance where one learns to trust in God's timing. And the result is a character that is steadfast, resilient, and able to withstand life's pressures without breaking. In Romans chapter 5, it notes that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. The biblical imagery of the refiner's fire found in passages like Malachi and Zechariah likens God's transformative work in believers to a metallurgical process. In ancient refining, metals like silver or gold were heated in a furnace to burn away impurities, leaving a purer, more valuable material. Similarly, God uses trials and the refiner's fire to purify our faith, to remove our sinful tendencies, and to shape believers in his image. Just as steel is heated to alter its structure, the refiner's fire represents trials that purify the heart. Malachi chapter 3 describes God as a refiner who will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi. So this suggests an intentional, careful work to remove our impurities. And the refining process is not instantaneous. It requires enduring the heat and trusting in the refiner's skill. Likewise, we are called to endure trials with patience, trusting in God's purpose. And the result is faith that is more precious than gold, refined and strengthened, capable of reflecting God's glory, much like tempered steel is fit for its intended use. So the tempering of steel, the cultivation of patience, and the refiner's fire converge in their shared emphasis on transformation through adversity, time, and trust. Just as steel requires heat and quenching, patience grows through trials. The refiner's fire burns away our impurities, and in each case, discomfort or challenge is essential for our growth. Remember that God does not withhold the trials of our lives because we are faithful. He allows the trials of our lives because it refines our faith. And just as tempering requires precise timing and controlled conditions, patience and spiritual refinement depend on trusting God's process, even when it feels like it's prolonged or exceptionally painful. Isaiah chapter 48 speaks of God's people being refined in the furnace of affliction, highlighting the necessity of enduring the process of refinement. But the end result of each process is a product that's refined for its purpose. Tempered steel is strong yet flexible, and a patient believer is steadfast yet hopeful. A refined faith is pure and it glorifies God, and all three reflect a transformation that equips the subject for greater challenges and service. In a Christian life, the interplay of these concepts encourages believers to embrace trials as opportunities for growth, and that can be hard to do. But just as a blacksmith tempers steel with care, God, the ultimate refiner, uses life's challenges to shape believers into vessels for his glory. Patience is both a byproduct of this process and a discipline that sustains it, enabling us to endure the fire with trust in God's purpose. When we consider the story of Job, who endured immense suffering, yet he emerged with a deeper faith, saying, "When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." His patience through trials mirrors the tempering process, where the heat of suffering refined his trust in God and produced a resilient faith. So, in our daily lives, if we view trials as tempering instead of resisting the difficulties, we can see them as God's refining fire and shape our character and faith. We can choose to trust in God's timing, and we can allow ourselves to surrender to God's transformative work, knowing that He is crafting something beautiful and strong within us. So the tempering of steel, the cultivation of patience, and the refiner's fire all illustrate a universal truth. True strength and refinement come through adversity, time, and trust. And these processes reflect on God's work in shaping believers who are resilient, faithful disciples. Just as tempered steel is made durable for its purpose, so are we. As we are refined through trials and patience, we emerge stronger, purer, and ready to fulfill God's callings for us. Proverbs chapter 17 reminds us the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. Tribulation or trials refer to hardships, challenges, and suffering that believers encounter in life. And these can include personal struggles, loss, persecution, seasons of uncertainty, seasons of waiting. In scripture, tribulation is not merely an obstacle, but it's a divine tool that is used by God to produce spiritual growth. Romans chapter 5, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Here, tribulation is the starting point at the heat that initiates the refining process. And trials aren't random, they're part of God's sovereign plan to shape us into the image of Christ. Like a refiner's fire, tribulation exposes our weaknesses and burns away our impurities, which prepares our heart for growth. It tests our faith, revealing our strengths and our fragilities. And Peter compares trials to the refining of gold, noting that they prove the genuineness of faith, which is more precious than gold. But this testing requires endurance, which is where the time enters the equation. Time is the dimension in which patience is forged. Tribulation alone does not produce patience, it's the prolonged experience of enduring the trial over time that cultivates this virtue. Patience, or perseverance, is often translated in the Greek, meaning steadfast endurance. And it requires waiting on God's timing and trusting His process, even when relief and answers are delayed. The Bible frequently calls on us to wait on the Lord. Time forces dependence on God as immediate resolutions are often withheld. For example, Abraham, Job, they waited for so long and they learned patience through years of uncertainty. Time allows for repeated exposure to trials, each one building resilience. James chapter 1 encourages us to count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience. So the phrase in this scripture, various trials, suggests a series of challenges over time, which each one is going to contribute to the development of steadfastness within us. Time and tribulation work together as a divine partnership to teach us patience. Tribulation provides the pressure while time extends the process, ensuring that patience is not a fleeting response but a deeply rooted trait. This interplay is evident in several biblical examples, such as Job's endurance, Joseph's journey, and Jesus's example. Even Jesus, in his human experience, endured suffering over time, which culminated in his suffering on the cross. Hebrews describes him as the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. His endurance models how patience is sustained through tribulation with an eternal perspective. Patience emerges when believers trust God's sovereignty during tribulation and over time. This trust is rooted in the belief that God is working for our good in Romans chapter 8, and that His timing is perfect. Without faith, tribulation can lead us to despair, and time can feel like an endless burden. But with faith, both can become opportunities for growth. And I would say that you can still have faith and still cry out and still feel like your time of waiting is just this never-ending crazy battle. Those are human emotions, and we're allowed to have human emotions. God didn't put us here to give us a human experience to then say, you can't feel this way. He knew how hard it was going to be for us to go through the refiner's fire. He knew that time and tribulation to develop patience was going to be one of the most important aspects of the human existence. And if you pray for patience, God is going to give you opportunities to build that. He's not just going to give you patience. He doesn't ever just give us what we pray for. He gives us opportunities to get there. Even Jesus cried out on the cross, "Take this cup from me." And that is a very human emotion. Even when he knew what was going to happen. He knew that he was going to be resurrected. He knew that he had chosen to do this to be able to save every single one of us. He still was allowed to have those human emotions and say, "Why? Why is this happening to me? Is there no other way?" And he knew that there was no other way. But it was still okay for him to ask that and to be raw and human in that moment, and for God to send angels to comfort him and for him to finish the work. So we have to have faith in our tribulations. We have to trust that God is using the trials for a purpose, and we have to have faith in his timing, because that's a huge part of it. God's timing seems so very slow to our human brains. And it seems like we're in our seasons of waiting for an endless eternity. But at some point, every season of waiting comes to an end. And it's usually just in time for the next season of waiting to begin. So we have to trust and have faith in God's timing. And we have to surrender our timeline and embrace His timeline. Time and tribulation produces patience, which in turn shapes character and fosters hope. Patience refined by tribulation and time creates a mature, steadfast character that's able to withstand future challenges without breaking. And it gives us hope. The process anchors us in the certainty of God's promises, which enables us to face uncertainty with confidence, because we then know that our season of waiting will come to an end, and we can hope for what is going to be at the end of that waiting period. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Embrace trials with joy. This is so hard. No one wants to walk into the refiner's fire with a giant smile on your face. But if we view challenges as opportunities to grow and we trust God's purpose in the plan, then we can embrace our trials with joy. We can pray for endurance. We can ask for the strength to persevere. We can ask for courage to make the decisions that we need to make. And God will be right there. And we can reflect on passages like Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God," to cultivate trust in His timing, to remind us that He does not abandon us. It's just going to take a little longer than what we hoped for. Patience is more than just a virtue. It's a reflection of God's character in us. And Isaiah 48 reminds us, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." God is the master refiner, and He is crafting us into vessels fit for His glory. So whether you're waiting on His timing, or you're loving others through their flaws, giving yourself grace, that patience will draw you closer to Him. Let's anchor ourselves in Romans chapter 15. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. So have faith, guys. Believe in yourselves. Believe in God's timing. Believe in each other. And get the work done. God's timing is sometimes so very hard. But remember that there is an end to your season of waiting. You might not be able to see it yet, but it's there. He can see it, and he can see the beautiful thing that you're becoming through this season, and he can see the end result. And that is what he wants for us. So have faith and trust in that. Have a beautiful day, guys. Enjoy your weekend. The sun is shining. It's Friday. And we will see you right back here on Monday. Thanks for joining me.